Hi, I'm Guy, and today I'm drinking a very significant Guinness. This is my Guinness to celebrate finishing my second year of uni.
Well, congratulations. That's a well-earned Guinness. I'm Alex, and I'm drinking a Meantime London Pale Ale.
It's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call podcast. This week, like every week, we'll be talking anything and everything, both pub-related and otherwise, in the signature fashion of people who have just got to the last drink of the night. And to start us off, last week we talked about sports fans who hurl abuse at the sportsmen and women, even though they couldn't even begin to do what they do. And on that topic, Guy, you had someone send a video over to you.
Yeah, so shout out to Hamish, who messaged me. He sent me this great clip. So it was on ESPN, and they basically got college football fans who had just rinsed college athletes on Twitter, saying like, oh, I could make that kick, that was crap, da, da, da. I basically saying, oh, I could do that. They brought them in and tried to make them do it. It was like, oh, well, if you can make this kick, then he go. So there was like this one game, this kicker missed a 31-yard field goal. So they were like, sweet, here's some post ball, 31 yards, go for it. And they were awful.
Absolutely terrible. It's a top quality clip. Just for the blokes they have on. As soon as they come walking out, you can just tell already that this is going to be hilarious. And they don't know why they're there either. They weren't told. You were running your mouth, and now we want you to come and prove it. They were just told, hey, come be on the show. And then they've got to read out whatever bullshit tweet it was. Like, I definitely could have made that kick. And all three that we saw
didn't.
Not only did they not make the kick, they weren't even close.
No.
They weren't even close to making it a kick. The first guy, Dave, was probably the best. He actually managed to at least get it in the fucking air.
Yeah. But imagine that. Imagine being like a diehard American football fan, and then ESPN contact you and are like, hey, we want you to come to the show. And you're just there like, oh my God, yes, this is awesome. I'm going on at ESPN. I can't think of anything I've done recently which would cause me to do this.
And they're like, do you use Twitter, Dave? You like to tweet about football, Dave? And you're already starting to think, oh shit. Shit.
What is that show with that guy? His name is Chris something.
I will need more to go on.
And it's that show where they catch pedophiles.
Oh, To Catch a Predator.
To Catch a Predator. And it's like when they
nothing funnier. Nothing funnier. Yeah,
when they walk in and they think they're going there because they think they're going on a date with an underage girl or boy, and then Chris, whatever his name, walks out. Same here. It's like, welcome to ESPN. You probably watch us daily. Do you tweet much? Yeah, I like to tweet. I tweet every now and again. Great. Here's you talking shit to a college football player. You've now got to try and do that.
I wouldn't compare people who talk trash about football players.
It's a loose connection, I'll admit.
But I agree that moment. If you're the wannabe pedophile, as soon as you walk into the house, as soon as you see one television camera, surely that is white hot fear.
It's bad, man. It's really, really bad.
Well, getting caught out trying to date teenage girls. What do you mean?
No, those guys. Anyway, we're going way off track. Let's bring it back, because we're talking about sport, not To Catch a Predator.
Not pedophiles, I was going to say.
But yeah, man, it's honestly hilarious. And it fitted so well with what we spoke about last week, that actually maybe we should be thinking before we speak, especially when it comes to sport.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll post a link to that video on our Twitter page. That's @lastcall_pod. So head over there if you want to check out that video and all the other stuff we do during the week. For example, this week we ran a poll based on sauerkraut. last episode, you and I had a little bit of a argument
about
sauerkraut. You are not a fan.
No. I'm starting to think that maybe I just had bad sauerkraut.
No such thing as bad sauerkraut, my friend. But the results are in.
I lost.
You did.
I? Yeah.
You did. You got 44% of the votes. 56% of the votes loved sauerkraut.
Close.
It is close, and I won't lie to you. I really didn't think I had this one. I really thought it was a bit of an acquired taste and that people would hate it en masse. But it turns out that our listeners, or at least the people who follow us on Twitter, are sauerkraut-loving sons of bitches.
Well, that's the second poll I've lost now.
Oh, yeah. You lost the rat lady one as well.
Yeah, I'm starting to think I'm no longer a voice of reason.
When were you ever a voice of reason? What on earth gave you that idea?
Because I said, let the woman go to the toilet. That's pretty reasonable. I am the voice of reason.
I am not doing it. We can't. Seriously can't get back into this again. We spent so much time on it. If people want to listen to that, they can go and listen to episode 3 again.
So everybody likes sauerkraut. Well, bully for them.
I know I wanted to ask you. Are you ordering a lot of stuff in lockdown? Do you find that you're shopping online a bit more?
Yeah, to a degree. I've bought quite a lot of stuff recently.
I am at the point where my DPD driver is saved in my phone as Colin DPD, and we chat.
That's not where you want to be.
What I have started doing, and I recommend everyone does it, is instead of just buying stuff, because it's so easy just to buy, I've started putting things in my Amazon basket, and then every 7 to 10 days, I'll order that basket and select the option at checkout to get it delivered on the same day.
Okay, yeah.
That way, your delivery driver, don't get me wrong, it might take longer, but what exactly are we waiting for? That way, your delivery driver just has to rock up on one day with 6 parcels instead of coming on 6 days with 1 parcel.
Well, I'm just buying stuff at the moment that I think I just, the things to help me pass the time. So obviously I've got the steering wheel. I'm saving up for a new racing seat. I want to get a permanent racing seat.
For people who are wondering what Guy's talking about, he's talking about a racing sim kit for Xbox One.
The technical term is a rig.
It's a sim rig. A sim rig.
It's a sim rig.
If you've got a new steering wheel, new pedals, and you're getting a new chair, what are you doing with the old chair, steering wheel, and pedals?
Well, the steering wheel and pedals, I might give to you.
Nice.
But the seat I want to keep because it's like, this is going to sound really, really sad. It's not quite a scoop seat, but it's quite low. So it gives you that feel. It gives you an authentic feel of being in a Formula One car. So when I'm playing Formula One, I like to sit in that seat.
When you're on like Forza,
I want to be in a bucket seat, like a
driving seat,
like a GT seat. Yeah, exactly. You can't post any of that because that makes me sound really sad.
Well, I just spoke about how I know my Amazon delivery driver by name and have his contact saved to my phone. Colin, if you're listening, cracking work you're doing. Thank you very much.
Cracking work to all delivery drivers.
Oh yeah, sorry, delivery drivers. I didn't mean to just single out Colin. You're all doing cracking work. It just happens that Colin is the guy I see most often. How the hell do we end up here?
I don't know.
Well, I started replaying Assassin's Creed 2 today, this morning.
Ooh, how's that?
The nostalgia is excellent. I'm absolutely loving it.
Maybe I need to play, because I've got the Ezio collection.
That's exactly what I started playing.
Ah.
I'm not going to bitch about the graphics, because I actually think they're still quite good. I've just finished playing Odyssey, so obviously the graphics are going to look a step down.
Yeah.
What I will say is, and I know this is the biggest complaint of early Assassin's Creed, the climbing, the free climbing and free running in Assassin's Creed 2 is the most stressful thing, at least the most stressful thing of my day so far today.
I can't really remember it.
Get back on it and see what you think.
Okay. Is it that weird right trigger A?
Correct.
Yeah, that's how you climb up stuff. And then is it...
That's not the pain in the ass. The pain in the ass is that not everything is climbable.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that that whole wall is unclimbable. It means you can climb the first part of it and maybe the second part of it, but you quite often, without meaning to, just jump off the wall and often die.
That already
it is very stressful. Whereas you compare that to the most recent Assassin's Creed games where you can literally climb anything and everything.
You say that. Did you notice in Odyssey, you couldn't climb any trees? You know, in like Assassin's Creed 3 and Unity and those sort of games, you can just climb up a tree and that's fine. You couldn't climb up a tree in Odyssey.
In Odyssey, there's certain trees you can climb. You got to have a look for trees with like Y-shaped branches.
Yeah,
or a tree that has a weirdly long branch. Some you can, but you're right, most of them no.
I don't think there was that many trees. I think there's been more games with more trees, and Odyssey didn't have enough trees. Because I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, we've lost anyone that doesn't game or play Assassin's Creed, but the new, because we haven't actually spoken about it, the new trailer for Valhalla, the new Assassin's Creed that's coming out.
It does look excellent. I'm very excited about it for a number of reasons.
It's incredible.
Supposedly, the map is going to be larger than Odyssey, which is quite an achievement.
Yeah, that's...
We're seeing the Hidden Blade come back.
Yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to. I really missed that in Odyssey. Otherwise, I really enjoyed the game.
Yes. If you play the expansion pack...
Legend
of the First Blade. Don't get too excited.
Ah.
100% play it, because it's fun. Yeah. But, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler. You don't get a Hidden Blade.
Yeah, no, I kind of figured.
Which I think is stupid.
It's a bit of a shame. But you presumably get to see one.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it looks excellent. And, you know, Vikings... awesome. This is the beauty of Assassin's Creed. Like, think about what they've done. They've done Spartan, they've done Egypt, they've done French Revolution, Renaissance, Crusades,
Industrial Revolution.
That game's a piece of pirates. Shit. Pirates.
I think they ruled out Japan. They said somewhere that they wouldn't do one in Japan, which I think is a shame because an assassin samurai
would be incredible. Yeah. That's a shame, because what would be amazing is, like, I know this isn't Japan, but sort of when you said samurai, it made me think maybe the Genghis Khan dynasty. I mean, that guy owned most of the earth. Do you know, I don't know the percentage, but most people can trace their ancestry. So even you and me can trace their ancestry back to Genghis Khan. Yeah.
So they say that about Charlemagne as well. I mean, in theory... There are a lot of people who believe that we all come from Adam and Eve, which makes us one big, big, crazy, incestuous family.
Oh, yeah. But actually, we come from Genghis Khan. So, yeah, that'd be cool. And then, what else have you got? The Irish potato famine?
You think Assassin's Creed potato is the next up?
Assassin's Creed, toy. When was the plague? When was the Black Plague? When was that?
I believe it was 1347 to 1351.
Wow. As if you knew that. Well,
I know, just off the top of my head.
I need you in a pub quiz.
It's not like I Googled it and then we cycled back to an edit point.
But yeah, the Black Plague. I don't really know what you do in that game. So not die.
I think we can agree that we are not the people to come up with Assassin's Creed.
I don't know.
Mythologies. I mean, we've played enough of it. Yeah. Do you remember we used to marathon through Assassin's Creed games when they came out?
I actually really missed that.
That was great.
Just doing a weekend.
We would start on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Or a Saturday morning. We would put the two armchairs in our parents' living room way too close to the TV.
Yeah.
Like way, way too close. And which Assassin's Creed did we do it for?
I think we started with two. And then we did Revelations. Then we did three. Then we did four.
By four, do you mean Black Flag?
Oh, yeah.
And we would buy junk food and energy drinks.
Yeah.
And try and do the whole game in a weekend. Often successfully.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. What makes me laugh is when we were doing it to get some exercise. Don't you remember? For 20 minutes out of the 11 hours we'd be playing the game. We would go outside and play basketball.
Yep. That was like, we thought about it. And we were like, we don't want to just drink six Tesco brand Red Bulls each, eat a tray of nachos, and then sit down for 11 hours. We best do 20 minutes of basketball.
Yeah.
Just to balance out all of the junk food.
Just to make it okay.
Those are good times.
They were. Look what happened.
Well, I'd say that wraps up our segment on sports, sauerkraut, Amazon, and Assassin's Creed.
I've got something to talk about. So last week, I took part in a pub quiz as Quizmaster.
So I heard. Our mum and dad told me very proudly that you had run the pub quiz.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay.
There's not a lot of news at the moment.
Well, I did the pub quiz, and honestly, it was the most stressful thing I've ever done. Trying to do...
You didn't enjoy being quizmaster. You don't do well as quizmasters, because we, as a family unit, quite often do quizzes or pub quizzes when on holiday or when we all visit Norfolk.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you end up quizmaster, and every time there is a small breakdown.
Because you guys make it difficult. When we were in Portugal, you guys made it so difficult.
We were fucking wasted. We'd been drinking from like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'd moved on to God knows what by the end of it. I think it was coffee tequila.
You just didn't take it seriously. And you were yelling out answers, and the whole point is you're supposed to write it down. Like, that wasn't fun for me.
We were having a good time.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, I think it might be time for some Tales from Behind the Bar.
Cue the jingle. Tales from behind the bar. Wondering what they are. Tales from behind the bar. Don't wonder anymore. Because here they are. Did you do that?
Yeah. I found... So I don't know who... I don't think our listeners know, but when we take breaks during recording, one of us will often be left alone with the microphone. So we have probably at this point a couple of hours worth of... nonsense that we just talk to the microphone while one of us is out of the room. And I went back through one of the old episodes, and you were just singing that. I think I have some of you singing.
Tales from behind the bar. I bet you're wondering what they are. Tales from behind the bar. Don't wonder anymore, because here they are. Tales from behind the bar. Wondering what they are.
I put a beat in.
Tales from behind the bar. Don't wonder anymore, because here they are.
Hey, solo.
Tales from behind the bar. I completely forgot I did that. That wasn't too bad. Oh, the bass solo sounded like the intro to Robot Chicken, but
anyway, as much as I love the amateur jingle, it is now time for Tales from Behind the Bar.
That grows on me. I don't know. That really does.
Oh, I listen. I do very much enjoy that. Thank you again to Chris. You know Chris of Darby and John and Chris.
Yep.
For sending that in.
Ah, good stuff. Right. I've got nothing again this week.
I've had quite a few tales come in. So I will...
I always get so excited to hear other people's stories.
Let's hope that we can have a lighter Tales from Behind the Bar. Because the last 2 weeks have been decidedly depressing. Still fun.
Challenging.
Challenging, yeah. It's hard to hard to find a bright side to a lot of the things that we've had so far. Our first tale comes in from David. He says, "Hi guys, long time listener, first time emailer."
I love that.
Nice to have you with us, David. He says, I was at a bar, typical football pub, and I was ordering the usual pint of lager, please, Mary. To set the scene, normal Saturday night after the game is finished, and there's a Chelsea fan and an Arsenal fan, both at the bar ordering a drink, and the Arsenal bloke orders a Cosmopolitan, and the Chelsea bloke just says the typical gay.
It's not very progressive of you, Chelsea fan.
If you think a Cosmopolitan is a gay drink, I encourage you to try one, because it might be pink, but it is delicious. Obviously, the Arsenal fan took exception to this and said, "You fucking what, mate?" This is one of the most British things I've ever read in my life. "Gay, you fucking what, mate?" They then began arguing and saying, "Come on, then." Until an unlikely hero arrived to stop the madness and homophobic slurs.
A Leeds fan.
A man who united both men to one common cause, and all they needed to hear was his accent. In the most American accent, you can say the words, "Hey, hey, hey." I am reading it as it's written here.
Yeah.
"Come on, guys, it's only soccer. We don't need to use our fists for violence. Let's just go our separate ways. Let soccer be soccer."
That's amazing.
I've got a feeling that that might have been a stage direction for me. It says, in the most American accent, can you say the words?
Oh. "Hey, hey, hey, come on, guys, it's soccer. Let's just go our separate ways." I don't know what accent I'm doing. "Let's just go our separate ways.
Our separate ways." "Hey, hey, hey, come on, guys, it's only soccer. We don't need to use our fists for violence. Let's just go our separate ways and let soccer be soccer." You asked for American, I gave you Kermit the Frog. The lesson here, David, and other listeners, is don't ask us to do accents, because we are bad at them.
Ooh, speak for yourself.
Don't ask me to do accents, because I'm bad at them. Guy, apparently, is the master of all accents. Observe this. Guy, give us some Spanish.
Español.
Masterful.
Sí, por favor.
I don't know whether to give you another country or just stop you altogether.
Give me one more. You don't have to use it.
Argentina?
Oh, God. Who knows what Argentinians sound like?
Argentinians? All right, Russia.
"Hello, my name is Victor. Would you like some vodka?"
Okay, I'm good. I'm just going to stop you.
I thought that was good.
Well, I'm glad you did. Anyways, there is a little bit more to the story. You got off topic there.
Oh, no.
He goes on, it was at this moment the American man knew he had fucked up. As both... I should have known this would take a
turn. I thought it was fine. I thought he...
No, I thought we were situation resolved.
Yeah, I thought he defused it.
Nope. It was at this moment the American man knew he had fucked up. Both men started yelling, "Fuck off back to where you came from."
Oh, no.
At which one bloke decided it was time to nut the American. Once the dust had settled and the American man had left, both men looked at each other and said, "He was a right prick, fuck's sake," and went back to their tables.
So actually, they united against Americans. There you go.
David signs off. Love your stuff, guys.
Oh, thank you, David.
No, David. We love your stuff.
Yeah. Considering you're giving us content, we appreciate it. That poor American. I thought this had the makings of a nice, diffused situation.
Really heartwarming.
Yeah, I'm seeing these two guys going, actually, we can put our differences aside. And all three of them drank together.
I think my favourite moment is probably the split second between the American finishing his little speech and just looking at these two blokes and realising, they are going to beat the shit out of me now. I thought I was helping, and I'm not.
Well, look, Mr. American Man, keep doing what you're doing. Keep the positive vibes.
You're going to take a few headbutts for the team, but the work you're doing is God's work, so just
keep doing it, just maybe don't do it in England.
Moving on. I've got a tale here that's one sentence. Comes in from Johnny Don't Do It. It just says, literally this is all it says. It says, I watched a woman remove her left breast from her dress, lick her nipple, then proceed to vomit all over said breast.
That's actually, that's horrible.
Look, I'm not going to claim to be a saint here. I've definitely thrown up in my lifetime in some stupid places, but I've never thrown up on my own tit. I feel like that would be a wake-up call for me.
I just want a little more context.
That's all I have, is the woman just... It doesn't say whether it was a club, a bar, a restaurant.
Was she dead? Joyce, get your tits out, lick your nipple. Yeah, all right. Oh, God, oh, no!
I don't know. I've seen a lot of tits in my time working behind bars, but I've never seen anyone get it out for the express purpose of just licking the nipple.
Yeah, don't do that.
Especially not if you feel like you're on the brink of throwing up anyway.
Or what, did she lick a nipple, go, oh, and then just like, oh,
that little taste of nip,
yeah,
pushed her over the edge.
What is that?
I have another tale here from Anna Banana.
Anna Banana.
She says, about 2 weeks ago, our manager changed our olive order.
Uh-oh.
So we now get 1.5 gallon glass jars of olives.
Okay. I would like to know if that's higher or lower. Has he increased the order or lowered it?
Well, 1.5 gallons is, what, 12 pints? So I'm assuming that's got to be bigger than what they already had. Do they make jars of olives bigger?
Wow.
We were getting vats of olives delivered.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that is bigger.
Okay.
We might find out from context. Anna Banana continues, I'm a very tiny girl, 5 feet tall, 115 pounds, only bartender working the first night we get this huge jar of olives.
Okay.
I thought I wouldn't have to use it, but around 11 o'clock, somebody ordered a dirty martini.
With 1.5 gallons worth of olives.
Can I have a dirty martini, but 12 pints of olives? And hold the martini. I mean, that's even more annoying because you're going to need... like 3 olives and a bit of juice for that. So you have to...
I need to listen to more of it because I've got a few questions.
Anyway, she says, somebody ordered a dirty martini. Fuck. Okay. So I grab the jar of olives out of the cooler and attempt every method I know to open it.
Right. This is on them. Because... when that jar of olives came in, they should have put it into a smaller jar or a smaller container so that when someone orders something like a dirty martini, she doesn't need to go to the fucking cooler, open a 1.5 gallon jar of olives. Because let's put this into perspective. She's having to deal with this massive jar of olives for what? 3 olives? So they shouldn't be transporting olives immediately from this massive jar to the glass.
They should have you want a small amount on the bar in a smaller jar.
Yeah.
Exactly. With a HACCP label, depending on the food hygiene regulations in your area, ready to go. I agree. However, not only is this jar of olives gigantic, it also apparently the lid is stuck. I tried brute force, tapping the lid with a knife, spanking the bottom of the jar, hot water on the rim, you name it, I just could not get this jar open. Several servers tried to help me open the olive jar. Nobody could.
It
became a game.
You got bang it on a counter.
That's always, yeah, try and, what we want to try and do is change the shape of the lid a tiny bit. Yeah. Bang the lid against the counter. That's my advice. Or a hot towel. It became a game, and suddenly every man in the bar is testing his strength against these olives. Someone did get it open, but let's just say the original customers didn't get their drink as quickly as they would have liked.
Yeah, no shit.
And that is the end of the tale.
Yeah, no shit. I've suddenly got, there's like all these guys trying to open this jar of olives. Like everyone's screaming, yes, come on, you can do it. And I'm just stood there at the bar like, it's okay. I'll just have a gin and tonic.
I'll just have it with a twist. Skip the olives.
Fuck. Shit. How does that happen? Oh.
Were you trying to open a Guinness?
Yeah.
That's, it exploded?
That's never happened before.
You've realised that over the course of this podcast, we both have so many troubles with our drinks. I think last week I had Lansdowne explode in my face.
That's so annoying. Ah, you can carry on. I'm just going to be cleaning this up.
All right. I have our next tale here from Convict Islander.
He's Australian.
Says, one of the places I used to work at had a regular customer who had made friends with a bunch of the bar staff. Total scumbag.
Yeah.
Always hitting on everything with a pulse. Big nothing himself. Just a complete tool. Wow, he does not like this guy. He came in all the time with his butt monkey of a friend.
That's brilliant.
He does not like this guy. Who hung on every word and idolized the dick. Oh, wow. So strong feelings of hatred towards this guy. Anyway, this happened before I started there, but it was confirmed by several staff members and the dickhead himself. After we closed, the staff would all stay back for drinks. We'd have some pretty epic drinking sessions.
Okay.
Get a load of this fucking...
Okay.
Wow. And the award for biggest badass of the podcast goes to this guy. We had some pretty epic drinking sessions.
They could be pretty epic, though. We don't...
I mean, I'm not one to judge.
I mean, they could be absolutely off the fucking chain. Like, every time they finish work, they end up in Vegas.
Maybe this guy really is Mr. Big Nuts, but I doubt it. Anyway, they had some pretty epic drinking sessions, and because this guy was a mate, he was included. Ah, so the dickhead's included.
Okay, he's there.
One night... He gets annihilated, downs a whole pitcher of beer, throws up and refills the pitcher.
With beer? Or with vomit?
Ew, hey. With vomit.
Come on.
And then drinks the vomit.
Oh.
There's more. He couldn't finish the vomit after drinking about half of it, so the butt monkey friend decided...
Sorry, carry on. Sorry.
Decides to finish it off for him.
I mean, unless you're part of a uni rugby team or a sporting society, what are you looking at?
What are you about to say?
That it's fine.
Are you seriously suggesting that it's fine to drink someone else's vomit if you're part of a sports society?
No, I don't think it's fine, but it would be, you know, what I'm trying to say is, if someone was like, this guy drank half a pitcher of vomit at our rugby social the other week, or our sports social the other week, our sports social the other week, I'd be like, oh, it's gross, but fair enough. It has more commonplace there than at after work drinks.
I suppose you're probably right. I will give you that. Still, either way, don't go drinking vomit, whether it's yours or someone else's.
That's so disgusting. I actually am really struggling with that. Like, just imagine drinking, like, vomit.
I'm already against this. I already don't like the idea.
I don't know how people do it. How do you do it? How do you drink vomit?
I don't know. I've never drunk vomit. I don't know why you're asking me for. Oh. I've got my entire life. I've done quarter of a century without ever drinking vomit, mine or anyone else's.
Have you ever thrown up in your mouth and swallowed it?
That's different to drinking.
You've drunk vomit.
I haven't drunk it. I've swallowed it. There's a difference. There's a difference to it Tell coming me, up and going on. Straight back down.
Hold on. What is the difference between drinking and swallowing? They're part and parcel.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. If I'm drinking vomit, it starts outside my mouth and has to come in. Whereas if I throw up and swallow it again,
I don't know.
It hasn't come into my mouth. I haven't imbibed it.
Where has it gone then? If you're throwing up, it goes through your mouth.
It doesn't come out of my mouth if I'm just throwing up in my mouth and swallowing it. It's never left my body. It still remains an internal part. I haven't actually thrown up. If I just throw up in my mouth, I haven't properly vomited. It's still part.
But you've still drunk vomit.
I don't think so, man.
Vomit has come out of your stomach, into mm-hmm. your mouth, and then you've mm-hmm. swallowed it. So mm-hmm. you have drunk vomit.
But it hasn't come past my lips.
It hasn't traveled the full way, but it's just cut out.
But
it's
I haven't just, drunk
it's,
it.
It's cut out a part of the journey. You know,
I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. Which is why it means I haven't drunk it.
Yes, you have.
I don't think I have. I think it's come. I've vomited it up into my mouth, and then just had to put it back. It's still, to the outside observer, is still part of my. It's at no point has it been external. It's been internal the whole time.
Yeah, but it's still vomit that you've swallowed.
Swallowed, yes. Drunk, no.
You've drunk it.
I think to drink it, you have to pass it through your lips to drink. I can see you're Googling something. Are you Googling definition of the word drink? Two can play it this game.
Okay.
Fuck, I got a laptop right here.
The action or habit of consuming. Oh, here you go. What's defined as a. Ah, this is so bad.
Ah! Drink definition, Cambridge English Dictionary, an amount of liquid that is taken into the body through the mouth. Through. Swallowed vomit has not come through
Swallow.
The mouth.
Swallow, cause or allow something to pass down the throat.
Hey, I'm not saying I haven't swallowed vomit. I'm saying I haven't drunk vomit.
I switched arguments then. Okay. I think you've drunk vomit. If you throw it up to your mouth, you've drunk. You've drunk vomit.
I think we found this week's Twitter poll.
Okay, yeah. I think I'll win this. You want to put a bet on?
Yeah, I'll put a bet on. What do you want to bet? Pint?
I bet you fiver that I win this one.
All right, I'll bet you fiver.
Yeah. Okay, done.
Done. But anyway, we're moving on.
Okay.
I got one here from HD40.
Yeah.
He says, oh man, I don't even know where to begin with bar tales. I've worked too many bars to count.
Oh, wow.
Get a load of this guy.
Stop.
All right, I think I might have to take the award for Mr. Big Nuts off the last guy.
Please stop.
This guy's worked in too many bars to count.
Taking the piss out of our listeners.
I apologize. I live in a big city that only had one after-hours bar. I pretty much worked there for the stories I got to tell the rest of the week. I think the one that popped my cherry was one of my first nights. I'm working and nothing special is going on. I see some dude getting cash out at the machine. I turn back 30 seconds later and the guy is full on making out and trying to cop a feel from the ATM. He's not just kissing it, but full on trying to shove the entire 5-foot machine down his throat, rubbing it, caressing it, and generally trying to get his hump on. I go to kick the guy out of the bar, and halfway out the door, the guy looks at me and says, hey, do you know where I parked my car? I don't know why, but it set me off laughing for the rest of the night.
Why did he get kicked out?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what would happen. I don't have a cash machine in my pub. In fact, I don't think I've ever... Oh, no, that's a lie. I have worked somewhere that had a cash machine in it. But if somebody was making out with it,
I
might just ask them to... Maybe knock that off?
Yeah, you'd ask them to stop. You wouldn't kick them out. Who are they hurting?
It doesn't say anything about how drunk he was. If he was blind drunk and he was actually trying to fuck the cash machine, then yes, you might be like, all right, it's time for you to hit the bricks, my friend. You're gonna gum up the mechanism. I gotta say, I promise I'm gonna stop shitting on people who send in stories after this, but for a guy who doesn't even know where to begin and has worked in too many bars to count, that is not the craziest bar story I've ever heard.
We can't say that because all of last week we were asking people to tone it down. We can't then get annoyed when the stories.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Thank you, HD4Z, for your thrilling tale of a guy who tried to fuck a cash machine. Let's see if we can warm things up here.
This is good, though. I think these stories have been nothing too horrendous. You know, no one's shat all over the inside of a tennis club or.
No, that's true.
It's kind of like a nice little welcome break. It's sort of like a nice soothing, relaxing.
We have one here from Don Pellegrino, a mafioso, no less. He says, went on a stag do and was going around from bar to bar. New brother-in-law of the future groom.
So he's the brother of the bride.
Brother of the bride. Brother of the bride goes missing for the evening. We are in Amsterdam, so assume he's just gone off to do his thing.
I get you.
Presumably meaning
the red light district.
A few hours later, he reappears looking a bit worse for wear.
Oh, he paid for the premium package.
He then proceeds to tell us how a group of guys came up to him and offered him some drugs. He declined the drugs, but they then told him, no, you want these drugs, and demanded that he hand over 20 euros for the drugs.
So these are drug dealing Jedis.
Yeah, like somewhere between a mugging, a magic trick, yeah, and a drug deal.
No drugs for me. No, you want these drugs. These are the drugs you're looking for.
You beat me to the joke. It was right there. They demanded he hand over 20 euros for them.
That's all right.
I feel like, has he been mugged there? Given the drugs?
No, it sounds like he's had a bargain.
I mean... the future brother-in-law panicked and said, I've only got a 50 euro note.
No, bad idea.
Oh, what is this? Is this your first mugging? you idiot.
Oh my god, please tell me you asked them for change.
Yeah, can you give me the change?
I've only got 50, didn't you?
So like, hey, give me your phone. Why would you want my phone? This watch is worth £25,000.
Do you want some drugs there? 20 euros. Yeah, do you have change for 100?
I just have this gold ingot.
I don't have 20 euros. All I've got is the deed to my house.
I have the keys to a Mercedes.
What a fucking idiot.
You guys take Bitcoin? the guy said, I've only got a 50 euro note. Can you give me the change? They were so taken aback, they put him down and said, okay, sure, we just need to get the money out. The whole group went to a cash point. The gang of men got 30 euros out and gave him change.
Jeez.
What happened? What was this? Was this a mugging? Was this a drug deal? Was this a... Anyway, there is more.
It sounds like just honest, legitimate... I mean, honest and legitimate drug dealers is a bit of a...
It does, really. Really but, just nice, down-to-earth drug
dealers. Yeah, just drug dealers like, look, hey, we deal drugs, but we're not like the scary ones. I suppose it's in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, they're all chilled. But also to be like, no, you want these drugs. You're paying us for these drugs. Anyway, there is more. He then started to walk back to try and find the rest of us, but got asked by someone, hey, are you selling anything?
Oh, no way.
Brother-in-law panicked again, presented the baggie. The guy asked how much. The brother-in-law blurted out 40 euros. As a result, he made 10 euros profit.
This guy's my new hero.
There you go.
That's incredible. Yeah.
What a great... That's a cracking story.
What a great story.
That's everybody ends up happy there as well. Yeah. You know why I like that story? Everybody's happy. The guy who wanted drugs actually got the drugs.
Yeah.
The guy who didn't want drugs made a 10 euro profit off the experience, and the drug dealers got the money they were looking for in the first place.
Holy moly.
Well, there we go. We finally did it. A tale from behind the bar with a happy ending. I think that might be my favorite story. Moving forward... Our next story comes from I Love Beer.
Agree. Yeah, sweet.
You are in the right place.
you've contacted the right podcast.
He says, I own a pub and constantly on late nights, We're lucky and have great clientele, minimal incidents for how busy it is. Very nice.
Nice, yeah.
In the same building in the back, there is a smoke and lasers type nightclub with a punk venue in the basement.
Oh, wow. I'd like to know where this place is.
Until the you lost me at punk. Who am I kidding? You lost me at smoke and lasers type nightclub.
All right.
One night, a big band was playing, so there was a queue down the stairs to get in and see the show. This drunk kid decides to jump over the really fancy-looking railing into the crowd on the stairs below. So he does the whole one hand on the railing and leaps. His pinky finger was between the top of the railing and the small piece of metal that was part of the design. As soon as he got over the railing ripped his finger off completely.
Ripped it off. Didn't break it. Didn't dislocate it.
Ripped it off. It's ripped in crypt is in capital letters with three P's. Ripped. When the guy lands on the people 8 feet below, he freaks out and starts punching everyone. Blood goes everywhere.
Oh, that's insane. That's not the reaction you'd have, surely.
The bouncers grab him. They have no idea his finger. They have no idea his finger's stuck in the railing.
Hey, hey, you! Help me!
They can't figure out why there's so much blood everywhere. It was a good solid 20 minutes before the police arrived and found the finger. No idea if they were able to reattach.
20 minutes? Nah, it's gone. That needs to be put on ice immediately.
Ice straight away. Yeah, you got to say goodbye to that. I love that he chose to punch people. Like, don't get me wrong. You fall, you fall, what did it say, 8 feet? You fall 8 feet, your pinky finger's been ripped off, you're in incredible pain, you've just landed on loads of people. There's no right way to behave.
Oh my God. Oh, man.
Ah, good on him. Good on him. He freaked out, punched some people. He lost a finger, so might as well go down swinging.
Yeah, Jesus. I just, like, something in the brain must have gone, someone just took my finger, and then he just started punching people.
Was it one of you? Spare a thought for the bouncers who were like, why is there so much blood?
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
Bouncers deserve it. I don't like bouncers.
Let's not get into your rich and sordid history with bouncers. I have another story here. Comes in from KJ.
KJ.
They've gone by initials. I respect your anonymity.
Killer Jockey.
Killer Jockey says, it was a busy Friday, and a guy was going around making clumsy passes at every woman in the bar. Me and a bouncer walk up to him, inform him it's time to leave. He agrees, walks outside. We asked him if he needed a cab. He said no and walked across to the convenience store across the street.
What a guy.
Nice guy. This is a great story so far. Fast forward about 20 minutes, I hear a loud crash and look to the front door and the dude has punched through the window. The window didn't shatter. He punched a nice, neat little hole and his arm had come through it up to the shoulder. He pulled his arm out. And in the process, he cut all of the tendons and arteries in his armpit. Oh, all of the tendons and arteries in his armpit.
That's game over.
To be fair, I don't think you have that many tendons and arteries in your
armpit. I think it takes I think it takes one artery to be cut.
I'm not downplaying the seriousness of the injury. I'm just saying when it says all of the tendons and arteries, I think you have two tendons.
When a doctor,
two arteries.
When a doctor is operating and he goes, I've hit an artery, but don't worry, it's just one. No.
It's just the one.
It's panic because he's like, I've just hit an artery.
I'm not downplaying that. It is very serious. I'm just saying when it says all the tendons and arteries, it's not like, shit, five arteries, 20 tendons. But you're right, it only takes one, to be serious. He continues, thank God one of the bouncers was in school to be a paramedic. They tied the arm off, called an ambulance, and they took him away. He came back a couple of months later, informed us that he'd lost the use of his arm and may never regain functionality. He thanked the bouncer and wrote a check for the window.
Oh, wow. What a decent bloke.
What a guy.
Why'd he...
Fair enough. I mean...
Why'd he punch the window?
I guess because he got kicked out. I think, to be honest, if I went around being a dick like that and I punched a window through and then ripped all of the tendons and arteries in my armpit, that might be a wake-up call. You might wake up in the hospital bed and be like, yeah, okay, I need to sort some things out.
That's quite sad, actually. He's lost all function in his arm.
Didn't say if it was left or right. Why is that so funny?
Why is that important?
Would you rather lose your left arm or your right arm? That's fucking important.
We don't know what if he's left-handed or right-handed.
That's what I mean. We've got no information. If he's right-handed and he's lost his left arm, like, don't be wrong, that sucks, but that could be worse. Also, I think if you can't use your arm, I might be so wrong on this, but I think if you can't use your arm, don't they just chop it off?
No.
Isn't it going to get bad if you just leave it?
No, because it...
Like leaving raw chicken out?
No. He'll have physio on that arm. So he'll have someone cut if he can't use it himself.
Somebody just move it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Someone will come in. It's Sam Daniels does it. It's occupational therapy, and so you basically come in. And so, for example, I could be wrong, and Sam will probably correct me on this, but someone comes in. It's not the only thing OTs do, but he come in and say you've lost function of arm to keep muscle. And, you know, and strength to a degree, someone will come in, move that arm around, maybe put a weight in the hand and move it. Because you've got to think, if you lose use of your arm, so you can't physically, that's not anything to do with the muscle or anything, that's the nerves. So your brain isn't sending down a signal to your arm to pick up the weight. Again, not a doctor, could be completely wrong. But I think that's the nerves, your nervous system. So someone, an OT, would come in, move it around. So they wouldn't just cut off the arm. Someone would come in and he'd get that rehab because that rehab will be trying to get his arm to move again or him to regain control. But they need to keep that strength up, keep it going.
That may well be true, but let me tell you something. Machines will be doing that job very soon. I don't want to worry Sam Daniels. Sure, he's a nice bloke. However, someone's going to make a machine that can just flip a guy's fucking arm around with a bit of a resistance, and then they're going to have to stop paying these highly qualified arm movers.
No, don't call them that.
We need to get somebody in here to move his arm around. Stat.
But that's
it is beyond the understanding of a normal person.
That's why you need a human being, because they understand
how to fucking move an arm. No, not around, to, how to all the bend an elbow.
All the intricate details of an arm. What happens if that robot just overheats? Sorry, he's just moving his arm. He's like, help! That's why you need a human, because they understand what. How are you supposed to tell a robot? You're getting some therapy done. How are you supposed to tell a robot? You're like, no, that's painful. How are you supposed to tell?
You have a little stop button, I guess. It's just waving a fucking arm around. Anyone could do
this.
There's
more to it.
I am doing it right now. I'm holding my wrist and I'm flapping my right arm around. Sam, if you are listening, I'm of course exaggerating for comic effect. And what you do is very important and very difficult. So don't take it personally.
I don't think we need to worry about him getting offended.
Well, that just about does it for Tales from Behind the Bar. And to wrap us up this week, I've got a little game.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, this is a surprise. I did not tell you about this, but it's something that I've been playing and has been passing the time.
Yeah.
It is simply, Would You Rather?
Ooh, one of my favorites.
No, I'm sure you've played this before. I know we've played this before. There are a million websites and apps out there.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go into one, and I'm going to throw you some Would You Rathers.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather have 17 testicles or one testicle the size of a coconut?
Are the 17 testicles the size of the ball bag I have now?
They're the testicles are the size of your current testicles.
I'd rather have 17 testicles.
You'd rather have 17 testicles?
Yeah.
Are you fucking nuts?
You'd rather...
The testicles... Hang on. The testicles, I mean, you're going to have the same... They're the same size they are now, but instead of being two of them, there's 17 of them, so there's still more of them.
Yeah, so my...
They still take up more space.
Yes, my it might be a bit stretched in my sack, but better than the size of a fucking coconut.
17 testicles is the size of a coconut, surely.
Absolutely not. No way. It's one huge... Have you seen a coconut? You could at least fit 30 to 40 testicles in a coconut.
30 to 40 testicles in a coconut? Are you fucking mad? No.
I'd rather...
What coconut? Where are you getting your coconuts? Or what is wrong with your balls?
I would rather have 17 testicles. I don't think it'll take... I think it'll be a bit bigger. But I don't think
it will.
I don't think it would take up too much space.
I'd take the one coconut-sized testicle.
You want to walk around with one massive testicle? I'd say my hand.
You want to walk around with 17 fucking balls?
But they're not. I reckon my hand is probably the size of a coconut. You want that flailing between your legs?
Can you imagine holding 17 testicles in your hand? They're the size of a small egg.
They're about that big.
What?
What? Testicles aren't... You're making it sound like testicles are like two egg-sized things. They're not. They're smaller
than
eggs.
Maybe not egg.
Maybe like a quail egg.
They are smaller than eggs.
I'd say a quail egg. 17 quail eggs?
Yeah, 17 quail eggs. Imagine 17 quail eggs.
Imagine one massive quail egg.
I'd take the coconut. I'd be Mr. Coconut Balls.
You wouldn't. You'd be Mr. Coconut Ball.
Well, even better. It's less.
Imagine being intimate with someone and they take down your trousers and instead of going, oh, whoa, that's a bigger ball sack than I've seen before. It's one massive ball sack. That's humongous.
Yeah, can you imagine? I would rather be like, look, I should let you know, I don't have two balls. I got one massive ball. It's like coconut. Because that's kind of like, okay.
No.
Instead of having to be like, I have 17 balls. I've got a big fucking sack flopping around with
but
all my
testicles.
It's
not that big. I don't think it's going to be as big as a coconut.
It is going to be 8 and a bit times bigger than what you have now. If you run the numbers on that, but 8 and a bit times bigger.
Balls don't fill. I don't know what's going on with you, but my balls don't completely fill my ball sack.
No, of course not. But your ball
there
sack is going to have to be big.
I reckon my yeah.
You haven't got space
no,
for
no,
fucking
no.
15.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I don't have space for 15 more balls. But I reckon. I reckon in my ball sack, I've got space for maybe 5 more.
Really? Wow. Okay, that's quite impressive. I say at a push, I could get 2 or 3. What? The bottom line is, after, I don't know, one of us is weird here, and I'm not sure it's me. I think you might be old tiny balls. Here's the problem, right? You've got then, if you can...
Sorry, that tiny balls just hit me.
if you can get 5 more balls in your current ball sack, firstly, you're going to need
push.
To make the ball sack roomier. At push 5. Then you have to get 10 more in
up
to 17.
I'm so hot right now, I could probably fit about 20 in.
I honestly believe that one coconut-sized testicle would be smaller than 17 regular-sized testicles. I honestly believe that.
I don't think so.
And I think it would look less weird.
I don't think so.
You'd be like, huh, that is one big ball and it's off-putting, but instead of 17 balls all scrabbling around.
But
also,
no, this is where you're this is falling down. You're not going to be able to looking at someone with 17 testicles, you would just be like, that's a big ball sack. You wouldn't go, you don't have x-ray vision. You can't just look at it and think, whoa, that guy's got 17 testicles. Whereas
it's huge. Oh, it's fucking huge. You're not going to think, oh, what? You're not going to be like, oh.
This is bigger.
Yeah, no, but no, firstly, it's not. And secondly, you're not going to look at a ball sack and go, what a normal looking ball sack. You'd be, what the fuck is wrong with ball sack? It's massive. It's absolutely huge. And I can definitely. You're not going to.
You with one ball coconut, one sized ball, Isn't going to be fucking massive as well.
No situation is ideal, all right? No situation is ideal. Imagine here, how coconut ball.
Imagine
at least it's one ball. It's not those. You're going to be able to tell those balls are going to move independently of each other. You will look at it and go, "There's more than one, more than two balls in there."
Yeah, definitely.
And also, you heard a little thing called testicular torsion.
Yes, I've had it. It's very painful.
Where your testicles swap places and the tubes get.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. 17 testicles.
That's the worst
risk. High risk.
Yeah, no, definitely high risk. And it is awful.
I reckon once a day you're going to torsion a testicle.
Yeah. I remember I was paying for something and I'd had it all through the day and it calmed down. And then I was paying for something. I think it was in Top Man. And I was paying for something and she was like, "Would you like a bag?" And I was like, "No." but imagine how fertile I'd be.
I'm sorry, I've got one giant testicle. Like a fire hose.
No, but your two but your two testicles work in tandem with each other. So imagine having 17.
It's not a buddy cop movie.
Oh god. I think you'd be more fertile with 17 testicles than one massive one.
Probably, because 17 testicles is a lot more testicle than one massive one.
No.
You can't have your testicles and fertilize with them too. We could literally do this for hours. Moving on, our next would you rather is, would you rather go to a gunfight with a pellet pistol or go to a knife fight with a butter knife?
Gunfight with a pellet pistol.
Really?
Oh, man.
I really thought we were going to be on the same page on that one. Why would you go to a gunfight with a BB gun?
What the fuck are you going to do with a butter knife at knife fight?
Hey, right. What are you going to do with a BB gun at a gunfight? You're going to get shot immediately, at least
imagine,
at a knife fight.
No. A pellet gun. So granted, I could turn up, pull out the pellet gun, and be shot immediately.
Yes, but, most likely.
But you've been hit with a pellet gun?
I mean, it does hurt.
You've got to be something else to get shot with a pellet gun and not react.
It would hurt, but it wouldn't kill you.
No, I agree. But as long as I keep just popping this guy, maybe I hit him in the eye, blind him. Happy days. But I've just got to keep the fire down because he's going
when they say, like, when they say,
pom, 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 ow, 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 ow. And then I can get out of there.
He only has to blindly fire once and hit, and that's you done.
But you're saying you...
And also...
That's close combat. Knife, butter knife.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
And so, right. I've sat up now. In a pellet gun, I can keep my distance and, you know... chip away at him, and maybe
when I should point out that when I hear gunfight and knife fight, I assume more than two people.
Oh yeah, I'm saying one on one. But I mean you're fucked either way. If it's more than one person, doesn't matter what you've got.
Yeah,
but in a pellet gun, I can keep my distance and I can pop away at him and maybe get an escape. Knife fight, I've got to get up close. Okay, and the fact that I'm up close and he's got a knife and I've got a butter knife, I can't do anything, can I? There's nothing
right.
I can do.
You
to...
can still, you can still swashbuckle. You can still.
What the fuck does that mean?
Like, you know, pirate style. You can still clink. You can still sing.
Alexander,
still...
it's a knife fight. It's not a sword fight.
Yeah, I know, but you've got something metal to... You've got a. It's going to be a better defensive weapon than an offensive weapon. I agree, but
you can defend yourself against a knife with a butter knife, something that can actually cut you, to something that will do absolutely nothing.
Hey, let me tell you this: you could stab someone with a butter knife. It would be difficult, but if you're not with enough oomph behind it, you come down. You want to test that theory?
You'd have to keep going. You'd have to knock him out, and then just. I reckon it'd take you about 20 hits of the skin to break the skin with a butter knife.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm gunfight with a pellet pistol. I can do more damage. I can do more damage with a pellet pistol. Butter knife, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, but I can.
But with a pellet gun, I could blind him.
Yeah, but one shot from the gun and you're dead.
Yeah, one stab of the knife, you're dead.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Depends where.
Depends if he gets.
Stabs me in the arm.
Depends if he gets.
Don't me wrong.
All the arteries.
All the tendons and arteries on my armpit.
Nah, pellet gun.
Our next would you rather is, would you rather have two left hands or two left feet? Two left feet for me.
Yeah, two left feet for me as well.
Oh, we're on the same page. It doesn't even don't even need to debate it.
That's good.
Would you rather eat only Chinese food all the time or only Mexican food all the time?
Mexican food.
I think I'd go Mexican as well, yeah. You know.
There's more, like, I don't feel,
There's more cheese in that culture.
I was going to say Chinese is quite stodgy, and I reckon after a bit of time, but at least with Mexican, you can sort of cook your...
Switch it up, chili, yeah. Burrito, taco, just have nachos. Ground beef and spice in different tortillas.
Yeah, that's the difference between you and me.
If you do fancy playing Would You Rather, we are using either.io. Let's see what we have here. Maybe one more good Would You Rather to see us home. All right. Would you rather eat a spoonful of cinnamon or snort mustard?
Cinnamon.
That was very fast.
This is because the first time I ever had mustard, it was at our grandparents' house, and I was not warned. And I put a fucking huge lump of it on some food or something. And oh my God, I had so much on, like water was coming out my nose, out my eyes.
And I was just, you do only need a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I put a fucking hossing great bit on this bit of food. So absolutely not. If I put it in my mouth and it causes my nose to completely do one, no way I'm snorting mustard. So I'll have a spoonful of cinnamon.
I will be honest with you. I agree. I'll take a spoonful of cinnamon because at least then you're just having to deal with that in your mouth. You're not having mustard up your nose and then in your throat. I agree. Yeah. Spoonful of cinnamon. Look at that. In the end, we got brought together over a mutual hatred of mustard up our nose.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a particularly strange little segment there, but
yeah,
it has been passing the time for me in lockdown. I hope that maybe some of our listeners can pass the time as well. Well, unfortunately, that is time at the bar.
It's time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
If you want to keep up to date with what we're doing during the week, go to our website, thelastcallpodcast.co.uk, or follow us on Twitter at lastcall_pod.
Please don't forget to see your drinks back to the bar. Have a great week. Mm-hmm.